Okay, all right. That's our first talk for the day. Our second talk, we will be bringing up Matthew Kirkens, the creator of CashAnize Wallet and also the CashScript contributor. And he does a Mr. Zwed's YouTube channel where he educates people on Bitcoin Cash. And he's consistently a force and a presence in the community. From Belgium, Matthew Kirkens.
Thank you for that introduction, Jeremy. We'll go to the announcement. So very happy to be here at Bliss 2025 with all of you. I have something that I've been working on for the past year that I'm very excited to show off. To continue on the last presentation, we need to build things that excite, that people want to use. So in that vein, I hope I can present my new project. So I'll uncensor this slide, announcing Parity USD. From the name alone, you might already have an intuition for what this is. It wasn't easy in the weeks leading up to Bliss to keep it under the radar, and even for the conference organizers, but also the many friends and contacts who I have here, who of course were curious about the topic of the presentation. So, Parity USD, a decentralized stablecoin on Bitcoin Cash. That's what I've been building over the past year. And of course, the vision, the ideals of this project is to have something non-custodial and trustless, so in the very same vein as Bitcoin Cash, and leveraging some of the new technologies enabled with Cash tokens and with the smart contract upgrades that Bitcoin Cash has had. First, before I talk about the specific features that Parity USD will have, I first want to zoom out a bit and talk about the state of the cryptocurrency industry and how it relates to stable coins. So if we take a kind of big picture point of view, these are some articles of the last month or two from Bitcoin.com, so the Bitcoin.com news site. And I'll just read the headlines so you can get an intuition where we're moving as an industry. So the first one reads, stablecoin market adds 4.5 billion in a week, nears 240 billion milestone as total market cap. Then Dune study shows that stablecoins grew 63% in 2024, reaching a $235 billion valuation. Then here it says Visa integrates stablecoins into 150 million merchant network. And then lastly, the last headline I want to read is stablecoin sector shatters records as USDC cracks 60 billion for the first time. So clearly, stablecoins as a category, they are growing quite fast, and they're one of the killer use cases of crypto, and many people have noticed, because they solve the volatility problem. But just looking at these articles, you might notice we see Tether and we see USDC. These are trusted stablecoins, so we trust a company to have custody of funds. So this is kind of antithetical to the crypto movement. We would prefer not to have need trust in these institutions. And moreover, they strengthen the legacy financial network because, of course, they are backed by dollars, usually in a bank, but sometimes also they invest this in government bonds. So Tether recently has been one of the biggest buyers of US government debt. So it's really strengthening the financial, the traditional financial system and by extension governments and not crypto. So it would be much better if we can have crypto-backed stablecoins which they meet the demand for dollars and stability that exists in the world. But behind the scenes, if you look what's happening under the hood, they actually strengthen crypto. They are backed by not dollars in a bank, but by crypto assets. This means that you will need some over-collateralization with a safe margin, because of course the crypto assets are volatile in dollars, but they strengthen the crypto network. So with this context, I will talk about some of the features that Parity USD will have. So Parity USD is a novel over-collateralized stablecoin project on Cash tokens. So it will be a Cash token like any other, in the sense that you will have a stablecoin. When it's fully developed, you will have a stablecoin in your wallet that you can transact with, meaning that the fees will be negligible and you will have full ownership. So by default, none of the Cash tokens have freezing functionality or can be censored or can be confiscated. So this will also apply. So I think just generally, Cash tokens are a very powerful primitive, and this is what we're leveraging with Parity USD. Furthermore, with this project, we want to bring the full power of DeFi to Bitcoin Cash. So we have already seen over the past year or two, DeFi starting to take off in Bitcoin Cash, but at a relatively small scale. So as an explicit goal for Parity USD, I want to make it the biggest DeFi project on Bitcoin Cash, because we need to grow DeFi orders of magnitude. So I think we can be ambitious and have some friendly competition around the builders here, and to grow the pie for everyone as a whole. So Parity USD, it will have a very symbiotic relationship with Bitcoin Cash, because more demand for Parity USD means more Bitcoin Cash locked in this over-collateralized system. So Bitcoin Cash, the value as a whole, should also benefit from this. Now let me talk about the different use cases. What features does the Parity USD decentralized stablecoin, what does it have? So it is a token that you can have in your wallet, but how does it get into circulation? Well, any Parity USD that will get released into circulation has Bitcoin Cash backing it. So when new tokens are released in circulation, there needs to be backing, and this happens by borrowing. So this will not be for all stablecoin users, it can just be for a select percentage of users who are interested in this borrowing mechanism. And this is kind of standard for decentralized stablecoins, so you might already know this mechanism, but I'll explain it for the people for who this is new. So you can, with Parity USD, you will be able to borrow up to 90% of the value of Bitcoin Cash that you lock inside a contract. So of course your Bitcoin Cash is volatile, so there is like a liquidation mechanism. So you will have to be careful that you are always you have a healthy loan and that it's well over collateralized. But this is a way that people who have a lot of Bitcoin Cash, some of you might be in this position. If you have a lot of Bitcoin Cash and you need liquidity, you have things you want to pay, maybe international commerce, maybe services, maybe you just want to invest in some token or a new project, new protocol that is around the corner. So you want extra liquidity without selling your Bitcoin Cash, because many people here, they would prefer not to sell their Bitcoin Cash, but still have exposure over the long term. Well, by borrowing, you can enable to lock a portion of your Bitcoin Cash, borrow against this, so you have liquidities to spend. So that is a first use case that's typical to DeFi, but relatively new for Bitcoin Cash, especially at a production scale. Next up, and essential to Parity USD, is a redemption mechanism. So of course, anyone can create a token, and even can create a collateralized token, but what is the guarantee that it's worth $1? Well, the easiest way is to make it redeemable for $1 worth of Bitcoin Cash, because that's a very direct mechanism. You hold a Parity USD token. At any point, you can go to the contract and get $1 worth of Bitcoin Cash. That also means that if ever it would the peg would be below $1, there's a direct arbitrage mechanism where you can just take a bunch of Parity USD at below $1, so buy them cheap, and then convert them directly. So of course this would happen by automatic trading bots making these direct arbitrages, even when there's just a cent on the dollar to earn. So that is the redemption mechanism, and it's very important for the stability mechanism of the project. So that is the second functionality. Thirdly, there is also staking functionality. So if you hold Parity USD, you will be able to stake it. And why I think this is a very important feature is even your bank offers a savings account, right? And even though the interest rate, the yield on that will currently be very low, it's important if you want to outcompete traditional finance that we also have products that can offer sustainable yield or interest payments for people who want to use the equivalent of a savings account. And so how does Parity USD, how is it able to offer sustainable yield or a staking mechanism? Well, if you borrow, if you create a loan, you have, as we said, you have to manage this liquidation risk, but you also have an interest rate. So you have the borrowers who pay an interest rate. This is similar to how it operates at a normal bank. Borrowers pay an interest rate, and then savers who lock their money up for a long time, they earn this interest rate. So this creates also, this is important, this mechanism for the stability, because a high interest rate environment would incentivize demand through the staking. So imagine there is not a lot of parity USD staked, but there are a lot of borrowers paying a high interest rate, then this would be paid to the stakers, and this would highly incentivize locking up parity USD. So it's a way also to balance supply and demand, additional to just the redemption mechanism. So I think this is a very important feature, both to compete with traditional finance and other DeFi networks, but also for the stability. So it's really one integrated design and protocol. So three in one, three features. I would say all three are new in BCH DeFi, but all three are very important to come to one protocol that makes sense in its totality. I want to take some extra time to focus on this mission, to demonstrate the power of DeFi on Bitcoin Cash. So the goal is, of course, the goal for the protocol is to be big and grow, but more so it's to demonstrate what Bitcoin Cash is capable of, to show what new tools can be used, what advanced capabilities exist. So it demonstrates as a showcase and hopefully as an encouragement to others to also innovate. Not only that, but parity USD or similar stable coins to it will be an important primitive and building block for other projects. You see this on existing networks like Ethereum, where a stablecoin is not the end-all be-all, but it is a primitive for use in other DeFi projects. So for example, you can then use them for token swaps, or you can use them on an NFT marketplace, or you can use them to create some other protocol using this stability mechanism and stable token. Further, not only to demonstrate the power of Bitcoin Cash as a whole, but also to demonstrate a CashCrypt, how you can use CashCrypt to build very complex smart contract systems where multiple components interact and where you can make understandable smart contracts. The end goal, I think, is for CashCrypt to become the solidity of Bitcoin Cash. And Bitcoin doesn't have anything like it, so I would say even it is the solidity of any Bitcoin-like chains. That's the vision for CashCrypt. But of course, we need projects that demonstrate that this is true. Ambitious projects, technical, complex projects that showcase that you can actually build things similar to what we see on Solidity, that it can be done on Bitcoin Cash. And then lastly, Cash tokens is the essential primitive. None of this would be possible without the Cash tokens upgrade 2 years ago now. So last year was the ABLA upgrade, and then 2 years ago was when Cash tokens activated. So a lot of important infrastructure has been built, and Cash tokens serves as a super important primitive, both for the smart contract system, but also just for the transfer of fungible tokens in a low-cost, uncensorable, unconfiscatable way. I didn't invent the protocol I'm talking about with the stability mechanism related to the redemption and the interest rates, the staking. This is based on the Liquity V2 protocol. This is an Ethereum project. And here it compares three different designs that you can use for decentralized stablecoins. And specifically, this compares how they do the interest rates. So you could design a 0% interest rate system, but then of course you cannot have any kind of staking or yield, and especially not that self-balances the system by managing supply and demand. So here there's three decentralized stablecoins: the MakerDAO, which is now rebranded to Sky, Curve USD, and Liquity V2. And Liquity, the version 1, was interest-free. But they took this lesson that interest rates are actually, who would have known, a super important economic concept. So to ignore interest rates is very much to your own detriment. And that's also why interest rates are super important to be competitive with other DeFi and traditional finance solutions. So here we see governance driven. This means there is a small committee that decides the interest rates. Maybe it's token holders, maybe it's a multisig, but it's similar to a central bank. It's a group of experts or people who rely on experts who say, now we will hike the interest rate, now we will lower. So they need to decide when and by how much to change the interest rate. And it's very, very difficult, and it's a kind of central planning. Then for Curve USD, their innovation was to make this algorithmic. So they said, we will devise some mathematical formula. The experts, we let the experts maybe design the formula, but then we no longer rely on the experts. Because once the experts have put into code, put into math, how they think the interest should govern, then why should we have like the human error and human who can of course be humans who can be convinced or who can not do as they promised. So we will just use an algorithm. Yeah, the obvious problem with this is who says that the algorithm is good or efficient, and how many people actually understand this algorithm. So for users, your interest might spike or be lowered, and you have really no clue why this is happening or how different parameters of the system in a very complex equation, how they affect the interest rate that you're paying on your loan. So also algorithmic interest rates. It's not popular with users, but also technically it's not a satisfactory solution. And then the big innovation of Liquidity V2 was market-driven interest rates. So instead of one interest rate that's paid by everyone, you will have kind of a range of interest rates that people can pay. But this market-driven interest rate, it works because there is a risk attached to it. Namely, the redemptions that we mentioned earlier. If you want to redeem your stablecoins, these will be against the loans that pay the lowest interest rate. So there is some risk to paying 0%. If everyone pays 2, 3, 4%, then you are outside of the range and you will be first in line to be redeemed against. And by adding this risk and this mechanism of redemptions, you have automatically adjusting interest rates. So you have a dynamic market-driven system where it reacts to any kind of parameters. So it can react to things inside of the system, like how many BCH is locked, how popular are these tokens in Bitcoin Cash DeFi, but also it can take in information of outside the Bitcoin Cash network. It can take in how high is the interest rate in Ethereum DeFi. That would be a relevant parameter to see what the interest rate in Bitcoin Cash should be. Or more broadly and globally, what is the interest rate set by the Fed in the US? What does the European Central Bank, what's their interest rate like? What is China doing with their interest rates? So it can take all the global and very specific crypto sector information and aggregate this into an efficient dynamic interest rate. So that is the big innovation of the Liquidity V2 protocol. And what I have decided, I will go with for Parity USD. So let me expand a bit on this Liquidity V2 design. Because it is the central and important component of how Parity USD works. So first of all, version 2 is an improvement on version 1. That is, and version 1 was kind of popular, but I really noticed in the whole working of the system, they noticed the problems of not having this interest rate. 0%, it was not balancing the system. Also, they had direct redemptions, but if the stablecoin would trade above a dollar, then the redemptions, they only provide a safe lower bound for arbitrage. But if your stablecoin is trading at $1.10, then this redemption mechanism, it doesn't push it back down to $1. So with dynamic interest rates, you can pay, for example, very high interest rates if it's trading at $1.10, or the reverse, very low interest rates, or if you have a way to manage supply and demand. Liquidity V2 is currently not deployed yet. It's supposed to be deployed mid-May, so maybe in the following days. But so this will be interesting to see how it goes. And I expect it to be a fast-growing protocol because it innovates in this crucial way. But the fact that it's not launched yet and doesn't have a big TVL is a big opportunity, I think, for Bitcoin Cash, because we get to leapfrog the innovation of Ethereum. We get to take their years of learning and experimentation and just jump to their conclusion, like what worked. Let's take only the good parts, the good ideas, and then we don't have to do all these failures, but we can study what they learned by all their experimentation. So that's, I think, one key piece that we should look at what experimentation has already been done and try to take the lessons from it. I think I talked about the first point, the staking rewards as a stability mechanism. So I will not go too much further into detail. We will, now that the project is public, there will be social media accounts, a landing page, but also a blog. So there will be more information about, for example, the stability mechanism, but also if you want to communicate technical updates or the white paper, that will now all be done on the social media and the Telegram groups. Important for the Liquid TV2 design with market-driven interest rates is that it's easy to update your interest rate because markets are efficient, but they're only as efficient as the transaction costs and the inner workings of the system. So if you have a system where users can set their own interest rate, but they have to connect to the platform to update their interest rates, and they only do this once a week or once a month, then your system will not be very dynamic, or will not be very efficient. So I think what is very key to this dynamic interest rates, market-driven interest rates, is that you can delegate your interest rate management. So anyone who likes to be like a financial manager or actively monitor his loan with his liquidation risk and redemption risk can of course do that, and you can likely learn a lot from doing this. But people who just want peace of mind or want to automate this can delegate it. You can delegate it to your own hot wallet, your own trading bot, or you can delegate it, of course, to some expert or some financial manager, someone who says, I will react this way to this kind of interest rate change, or I will take into account that we are in the 50th percentile of interest rates so that we are not close to this redemption risk. So I think the interest rate delegation, so that you don't have to manage your interest rate, is very efficient, very important for an efficient market. So you have low costs for updating it, and you can toggle at any time. Oh, now I want to opt into this interest manager. Maybe later you want manual control again, or you want to switch to another interest manager. There can be competition about how to most efficiently manage your interest rates in this dynamic setting. And then, importantly, you cannot, with Liquid TV2, you cannot take the entire protocol and apply it right away to a UTXO model. So there is some difficulty, some design choices, especially related to the redemption system. So the redemption system, as we talked about, they are ordered by interest rate, and the lowest paying interest rate, this is the one that will be redeemed first. But this range of interest rates is kind of a global state. So it's hard for a contract to know what is the lowest paying interest rate, what is the which contract is actually the lowest paying. So this is a very important problem for a UTXO model to think about. In many cases, you can work around the need for having any global state, and you can just use local state in different components, have a modular architecture. But in this specific case, you want to be sure that of all the loans and all the UTXOs that are created, which is the lowest interest paying. And so there are different design decisions or different designs that you can make for this. But with Parity USD, and we'll have more information in the blog post, we have chosen for a trust-minimized solution, so there is no need for an oracle, but it's checking locally between two different contracts, and it can see if the wrong redemption is targeting the not lowest interest-paying loan. So it's kind of an optimistic design. You assume that the target is the lowest interest-paying loan, but you can easily prove if this is not the case. And I mentioned this because there can be other designs for this redemption mechanism, and it's very much, I think, a new field of how to apply these global state IDs to a UTXO model. So this is the website, Parity USD stablecoin. I would encourage you all to take a look. I'm very excited that it's now public and available for everyone. Of course, as I said, the social medias are now also live with a Telegram and X account. And currently, the GitHub will not have much information yet. But over time, there will be more and more code released, both the smart contracts, of course, that they can be audited, but also other infrastructure relevant to Parity USD. And as I mentioned, the blog post, the blog section with now for now one article announcing Parity USD. So you will all also see this on social media later that I will making this preview public. Well, that was my talk announcing Parity USD. Thank you everyone for being here.
All right, we've already got our first question from Jonathan here.
So we already have Moria on the network today, or they're going to launch something version one fairly soon. What are the key differences between these two?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I haven't seen the presentation from Moria for their final design yet, so I cannot speak to their system. So that's also why I try to highlight some of these points that are important for Parity USD, for example, this delegation and this redemption system, and then we will have a way to, for example, compare and see how their design, how their final design, what it looks like.
Okay, we got lots of questions here.
This might be a silly question, but if is it going to be like the interest rates? Would they be determined by like different markets, or is it just in the entirety of the ecosystem?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So it's user set interest rates. So if you create a loan, you can say, I want to pay 3%, or I want to pay 5%, I want to pay 10%. But of course, you don't make this decision in isolation because there is some risk to being the lowest paying person. So you will normally say, oh, what does everyone else pay? And then try to position yourself accordingly. So if you, of course, everyone wants to pay as least as possible, but then you position yourself with your risk appetite or your risk profile. So you can say, oh, I'm willing to pay a little more if that means I have much lower risk. Or I'm willing to take this kind of risk because redemption risk is not the same as liquidation, right? It's not like your money is taken, but it's converted. So you had a loan, and so you put BCH in, took Parity USD out. So you think I can access this BCH at any point. But if you're redeemed against, this means someone else gives the Parity USD, takes the BCH out, so then you have more stable coins. You kind of sold your BCH for stable coins. So I hope that answers the question.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. This is a question that is bothering me.
Okay.
Since the only way to actually get a stablecoin is by staking your Bitcoin, and you have to pay some kind of interest to return the stablecoin for your Bitcoin, which can only be gotten by staking more Bitcoin to get more stablecoin. So that essentially means that there might be a time in the future where there is not enough stablecoin in existence to redeem all the Bitcoin.
Yeah, I see. So how this works technically is you pay the interest in BCH. So it's not the case that you need to repay your loan in the stablecoin and then pay extra stablecoins on top. Because as you said, they would not be issued. So there wouldn't be the stablecoins to actually pay for this. So how the interest rate mechanism works technically is you lock your Bitcoin Cash in a smart contract as collateral, and it will be paying BCH out over time. So kind of your collateral will be slightly shrinking. Let's say if you pay 5% interest each year, then by doing nothing and you just check in a year later at the same price, then your BCH position will be 5% smaller. But it's not the case that you need to actively put in extra tokens, or it's kind of something that happens passive, these interest rate payments.
Okay, next question. Yep.
Yeah, thank you so much for a great presentation. It's exciting to see this, and I think, it looks fantastic. I can't wait until it's out and be able to use it. My question to you, Matteo, is so understanding a little bit about Meeker and the challenges that the laws in Europe pose, and especially to a European Union citizen, I'd just like to ask you about how have those challenges been for you, and how have you looked to solve them and make sure that liquidity and your enterprise and setting this up is staying compliant?
Yeah, thank you for the question. It's a good question. So I decided for Parity USD to create a company. So it's not just a hobby project. I want to take it serious, build a small team and make it sustainable. And also to, of course, be able to deal with the legal and compliance side. So MiCA does not apply to sufficiently decentralized projects. Of course, that's a caveat. What is sufficiently decentralized? Well, they don't fully elaborate. So it's a bit of a hard position with the EU regulators. But from the initial legal research and legal work that has been done, it seems that this kind of system would just be allowed fine in the European Union, with the important note that it has to be sufficiently decentralized. But because it's fully non-custodial and running on smart contracts, then I think one important consideration would maybe that there's multiple frontends, right? So that it also looks decentralized, that there's not just one website. But even if there is only one website to start out with, under the hood, it's definitely decentralized because anyone can keep the system alive by just executing the smart contract transactions, even without a website. So, yeah.
Any more questions? Oh, one right up the back here.
A couple questions.
Sure.
One, so, and I think this is implicit, I haven't used any of the products yet, so essentially I can borrow against my BCH, I still get exposure to the upside?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then the downside, I face liquidation, which is, you know, worst case, I just need to make sure I can cover anything.
Yeah. So in the normal case where you are not liquidated, then you just have the interest rate cost. But besides that, yeah, exactly as you understand.
And then for the ecosystem, let's say I want to borrow against it, right? And what is the off-ramping to, let's say, if my company has BCH and we want to put it into our operating account with a bank, what's the best off-ramping to kind of the traditional finance at the moment in the ecosystem?
Yeah, can you be a bit more specific? Like,
So let's say I borrow against my BCH. I'm assuming that I'm getting
the stable coin.
Yeah. How do I turn that stable coin into dollars?
Yeah, so the stable coin would be fully under your control. So it would be a cash token like any other in your wallet. So you could likely use a DEX or maybe even a centralized exchange to swap it back to Bitcoin Cash or. Yeah, Bitcoin Cash would likely be the most liquid asset on the Bitcoin Cash blockchain. So I think you would,
I guess my question is, can I get fiat?
Yeah, so what you would do is you take a loan, and then you get Parity USD stable coins, you go to a DEX, and then trade it back for Bitcoin Cash. So then you have the Bitcoin Cash that is locked, and a smaller amount of Bitcoin Cash that is liquid. But you can sell this liquid part on an exchange, and you still have the loan going. So as long as it's at some later point you don't get liquidated and you pay the interest rates, you pay the interest rates, then you can access your original Bitcoin Cash.
And then how do I satisfy the interest? Is that just pulled out or
contract? Yeah, that's pulled out. So, okay. Gotcha. So your BCH position will slightly shrink over time just because these interest rate payments are made. So if you have a healthy buffer for the liquidation risk, then these small interest payments, they only you cannot keep an open indefinitely. So if you would create you would borrow and you would forget for 10 years, then then these interest payments would add up. But even then, your Bitcoin Cash collateral might be
hopefully
worth so much.
Bitcoin Cash is much higher.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. And I have a question too, which is, you mentioned we've now caught up to the Ethereum ecosystem, and honestly it's a pretty impressive job in my own view by the BCH ecosystem in the last 2 or 3 years to have accelerated so much and caught up to them. Now that we are starting to either match or even surpass some of the designs and protocols that they're putting out, do you expect that will generate interest in the Ethereum community in looking into BCH, and what can we do to facilitate bringing in builders, because they're so much bigger than us, but of course builders always want to be at the forefront and somebody's always going to want to take that risk. So how do we open the door for them to come into our ecosystem?
Yeah, great question. So I think the one big benefit we have is we have layer one on-chain scalability. So what Ethereum, what has happened is they have gotten themselves into a fractured ecosystem with many layer twos. And this is confusing for builders, right? Because they ask, oh, the layer one is kind of high fees and many users, they don't like this, so I will pick a layer two. But then you see there's 20 layer twos that are kind of viable, and then you need to pick, but it's all fractured, and then they need to use bridges. And so this is a big drawback that I see from Ethereum. So this is something we can kind of compete on, the more monolithic design of a scalable layer one. But then to attract the developer specifically, that might be a challenge still, because they have the Solidity global state mental model. So I think for them, they will first have to unlearn a few things before they can adopt the cash tokens and local state paradigm.
Okay, we'll see how that goes.
So there's basically three ways how to do third-party redemptions. It's the lowest collateral, the lowest interest, and time-based redemptions. I think it would be best for the minters to have the ability to pick any of those, because someone might prefer paying interest, someone might prefer locking the collateral for a longer time or locking a higher collateral. I think it, at the same time, that it would be in the same stablecoin, right? Because it would be easy to make these three separate stablecoins, but that would fragment the ecosystem and the utility for the users of the stablecoin. It would be fairly easy to combine the time-based redemption with any of the other two, but my question is if you have put any thought into how you would combine the lowest collateral and the lowest interest redemption mechanisms.
Yeah, so thank you for your question. Indeed, you can have the fact that you choose the lowest interest paying is a system design choice, and you can make different design choices. As you say, you can do lowest collateral ratio or something time-based. I see there's a big problem to try to use multiple at once, because then you have, maybe I can show by analogy. In Liquidity V2, what they allow is they allow for multi-asset collateral. So you can either put in Ethereum and then borrow, but you can also put in wrapped Ethereum or some other assets. This kind of fractures your stablecoin in different liquidity pools with different liquidation risks and different interest rates potentially. So that's really, I think it explores the complexity for very little benefit. And I would say that the same is true for this design choice. So you could technically choose multiple of these or try to have flexibility for minters. But I don't think it would improve the design significantly, but it would add complexity and even fracture the stablecoin liquidity. So.
All right, everyone, that's all we have time for. Put your hands together for Matthew. Great job. All right, we're running nicely to time, so we're going to have a little 20-minute, 25-minute break. There'll be coffee and drinks outside, so yeah, take a break, chat amongst yourselves, and we'll be back at about 11:15 for the next talk. Thank you.